Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Wednesday, July 15th. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We are studying page 52, the first paragraph, which begins with button more fields and ends with does not work for something new, which does. We'll be commenting on that one paragraph today. Today's readers are Susan G. for the 12 Steps, Leslie M. for the 12 Traditions, and SCH will read and comment on our reading today, and Michelle A.C. will close us out with page 164. Our newcomer greeter, Alex K., will greet newcomers, and then Shelley E. will close us out with some announcements. Thank you all for your beautiful service. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. meeting for July 14th is 23634. That's 23634. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting for Wednesday, July 15th is 23636. That's 23636. DOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeaters who still suffer. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which were suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Susan G. to please read the 12 steps of OA for us.
Good morning. This is Susan G. in Tennessee. Recovered today. So grateful. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much for letting me give some service. Take care. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan G. And Leslie M., will you please read the 12 traditions for us?
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you for your service. I'm Leslie M., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself, and our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeat is Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeat is Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to serve.
Thank you so much for your service. Appreciate it, Leslie M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 52, the first paragraph, which begins, Button Moorfield, and I will now ask Anne SCH to please begin reading for us.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. My name is Anne, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, gratefully recovered, in British Columbia, Canada. Reading. But in most fields, our generation has witnessed complete liberation of our thinking. Show any longshoreman a Sunday supplement describing a proposal to explore the moon by means of a rocket, and he will say, I bet they do it. Maybe not so long either. Is not our age characterized by the ease but with which we disregard old ideas for new? By the complete readiness with which we throw away the theory or gadget, which does not work for something new, which does? So my comment on this is that there's two phrases in this particular paragraph about. The first phrase is at the top, the first sentence, complete liberation of our thinking. The second phrase is our age characterized by the ease by which we discard old ideas for new. And in the first phrase, complete liberation of our thinking, I have a citation in my Big Book which says that these are the bedevilments. So complete liberation. I'll personalize it of my thinking. So the liberation is complete when I let go of the bedevilment, those blockages in me. And I like to report that, you know, you let go of the bedevilments once and it's done. No, it doesn't happen that way. No. For me, it's like a daily. Probably the first thing that I have to do when I open my eyes is I have to let go of the blockages that I put on myself, that prison that I self-imposed, prison that my disease over time has put on me, that I live in. So I have to surrender that. I have to let it go. I have to seek God right away as soon as I get up in the morning. And, you know, I like to say again that that always works, but no, that's where the 10th step comes in, that I have to liberate myself by going to God and surrendering to God, and in the presence of another fellow, give over that control of my life and my dishonesties. and resentments and fears. And in the second sentence, second phrase, it talks about by the ease by which we discard our old ideas for new. And, you know, at my age, I'm not talking about the age we live in terms of 2026. I'm talking about my age in life, my stage of life. You know, I'm at a stage in life where I'm 76, and letting go of old ideas for new is a harder struggle and a bigger struggle than only the 10 steps that only God can do to renew my thinking. And with that, I will close and say, this is a daily, an hourly for me. And I look forward to your shares, and God bless your day. Yes.
Thank you so much, Anna C.H. So appreciate you getting us started. Though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last couple of days and you would like to comment on page 52, the first paragraph, please press star 1 and give me your name. There's no wrong answers. We just love to hear your insights. On page 52, the first paragraph.
This is Andrea.
Andrea, and the first initial of your last name?
Oh, J. This is Andrea J. from Virginia. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Thank you.
Michelle A.C. from Colorado.
Thank you very much, Michelle. Anybody else like to comment on this? Well, how's about we get started with Andrea J. and Michelle A.C. Andrea, please share with us.
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay. I muted myself twice. That's powerful, and that's what I need. I had an accident, a bad accident, and hit. I had a bad injury on the back of my head. I hit my head and my ribs, and you know my thinking goes to the worst. I used to work in the medical field, and I worked with a lot of people with. There's a lot of background noise there, and I worked with a lot of people that had brain injuries, and I got scared. And this one guy, he was in his 40s or late 40s, early 50s, I don't know, but he was his personality was so different. His family said he's so different, and he was so nasty. He was manipulative, and he was very angry. And I had a lot of anger, and I just had to calm down. I go to see this here homeopathic doctor in Richmond, Virginia, and she's awesome. She goes, you got to calm down. Because when I don't calm down, I don't have high blood pressure, but it does go up when I'm in my mind thinking of old thoughts. So, you know, I just love this paragraph. I love the big book. And I don't know if you folks give phone numbers. I'll leave my phone number, 804-47.
You can do that at the end of the meeting. We ask people to leave their phone number, okay?
Okay, thank you. Bye. And
thank you very much. Okay, Michelle A.C., please share with us. Star 1 to unmute.
Sorry, I thought I was unmuted. This is Michelle A.C., gratefully recovered in Boulder, Colorado. That phrase, complete liberation of our thinking, jumped out at me. I have it circled in the book, so it's not surprising that it jumped out at me, but it really jumped out at me. And I have gone through over the last month another complete liberation of my thinking, or I would change it to liberation from my thinking, because I've started to see that the way that my brain perceives the world, circumstance, people, everything is actually not true. You know how we say your feelings aren't facts? My thoughts aren't facts either. And it's just the most incredible, wonderful thing for me to start to see that I'm making things up and that I really am not perceiving things as they are. And that the solution to that is to stop using my small mind and to tap into a greater mind, a greater source, a higher power, right? This other source of information that is in fact truth or seeing things truly. And I love how they flippantly say, oh, we will just disregard old ideas for new, you know, and it was not that simple. I need to say there was inventory involved. There were fellows involved. There was prayer involved. There was like divine love speaking to me through other people involved in order to, you know, just discard those old ideas like a Kleenex in the trash can. And, you know, we jump right into the bedevilments next. And the question that they ask me is, you know, I have to ask myself, why shouldn't I apply this to my human problems, right? Why shouldn't I have the same readiness to change my point of view? I am now understanding surrender. I am ready to change my point of view. I am ready to not believe myself all the time. And rather than cause my world to feel disrupted, like I can't believe anything, it feels so solid to be like, I don't know what to believe. Let's try not trusting Michelle. And so I wanted to speak on that little one phrase because it happens and it happens over and over again in recovery. And for that, I'm very grateful. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you. Grateful for your share, Michelle AC. Okay. Again, though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you'd like to comment on page 52, the first paragraph, we'd love to take a line up. Please let me know.
Nancy LJ, California.
Nancy LJ. And who'd like to share after Nancy? Star one to unmute. No wrong answers. We'd just like to hear from all of you.
Tina W.
Tina W. Anybody after Tina?
Paul D. Georgia.
Oh, I just barely heard somebody from Georgia. Who was that?
Yes, this is 5D from Georgia.
Oh, 5D, hear you much better now. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay, we're going to go with Nancy LJ, Tina W, and 5D. So, Nancy, please share with us.
Thank you so much. Good morning. I just want to claim my feet, wave my hand. Grateful to be recovered today and a day at a time for sure, hour at a time. I like the last sentence, you know, we throw away the theory or gadget which does not work for something new which does, question mark. There's someone in this program that says, if you want different, you've got to do different. And that really sticks with me. And yeah, if I'm feeling, you know, I've got to do different. What's going on here? Oh, I didn't pray today, or I didn't whatever, you know. But just case in point, I a couple months ago finished the steps again, and this current sponsor had asked me to consider doing a nightly review. Imagine that, right? I've never done it every night. Like, I'll do it for a while, and then I don't send a nightly review. You know, I just go, oh, you know, the questions, you know, I'm just like, you know, I just don't do, I haven't done it for years. And I've been doing it every night for a couple of months now. And I've got to tell you, it's making a huge difference. Just that time in the evening, looking at my day and answering the questions, you know, was I resentful? Was I dishonest? Things pop up. And if I wasn't sitting down doing that, I would just, you know, just, they would just be buried, which has been my problem. And so I'm so grateful for that. So, yeah, if you want different, you got to do different. And for my program, for me today, that nightly review is making all the difference and staying connected and keeping that channel open, as well as my morning work, you know, all the steps. So it works for me not to pick and choose anymore, I guess, what I'm saying. So, all right. All the best. Welcome to newcomers. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy LJ. Okay, Tina W., you're up next. Please share with us. Star one to unmute, Tina.
Sorry about that. Tina W. from South Jersey. I came to OA when I was 35 years old in the end of 2000. I tried everything. I had been a compulsive overeater since I could remember. I just saw some video of myself at 3 years old. My legs were completely rubbing together. And I stayed in OA for 20 years, and I never left. I had sponsors and everything, you know, slowly started lying more and more about my food, but didn't really hear that, you know, doing these 10 steps every day, and that I had a mental twist and a physical allergy. So when I really hit rock bottom in 2021, I talked to a friend in AA, and she said, "You've been in for 20 years and you never had a spiritual experience?" I said, "No, apparently not." And she said, "Your ego is out of control. You need to see what's blocking you." And so I learned that my ego is so big and strong that I think I know better than everybody else. And when people would tell me this is working for me, and they were even losing weight, I was thinking, yeah, but it's not going to work for me because I'm not a common person. I'm not common folk. Somewhere deep inside of me, in my subconscious, I thought I was better. I was different. I was special. And self cannot reveal self to self. So I had to put all the food down, because a little bit of drunk isn't going to make me see anything in reality, and accept the fact that this is not going to be something I read in a PubMed, and I'm not going to see any scientific empirical evidence about this. So I actually thought, okay, I'll do it. Like, I'm doing someone a favor. I did it, and I had the spiritual experience. And, you know, I've learned a lot about how I am. I scoff at things. How can you tell God that she isn't right about everything when God is so self-righteous, lacking humility, and knows more than everyone else? But I didn't see these things in myself. This was an ego I had built from feeling like nothing. And, you know, researchers, scientists, you know, they're constantly trying to find cures for diabetes and cancer, and they'll try different things, and they'll mix things up, and they'll read other scientists' PubMeds on how to do these things, and they change and they grow until finally they get a breakthrough, like Edison or the Wright brothers. But I didn't do that. You know, I'm an addict. When someone would come into my meeting and say, having their coffee in their hand and saying, "I don't think I should have a certain chemical in my coffee. I think it's keeping me in the disease." I pulled my chair back to the door and thought, "I got to get out of here because I need the food." And so I had to wait till God brought me to my knees to be willing to even contemplate it. And, you know, I didn't just have this with food in LA. I was like this in all parts of my life. I could tell you what to do with your kids. I was judgmental and critical. I was like the librarian with her shirt tied up to the top of her neck saying, "I can't believe people are doing this." Meanwhile, I couldn't see one thing that I was doing wrong. And I played the victim, and I was self-righteous, and I was holier than thou. And that blocked me for more time. Anyway, that's my share. Thanks for letting me share. Tina W., South Jersey.
Oh, thank you so much, Tina W. Appreciate your share. Fab G, you're up next, and then we will take another line up. We're setting page 52, the first paragraph. So please share with us, Fab. Star one to unmute.
Hi, this is Fab G from Georgia. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and very happy to be here today. For me, what stood out in this paragraph, the complete readiness with which we throw away the theory which does not work for something new which does. And so it reminds me of the need to be a challenge, rather, to be open-minded. And I always considered myself someone who was open-minded. However, when it came to my eating, I was not. I was very adamant about figuring it out myself for many, many years. And so this connects directly to my experience with food and AA. I knew about OA for quite a while. I knew it existed. I even knew that there were people that were finding recovery in OA. But I kept wanting to solve the issue myself, my own way, trying different methods, different plans, bargaining with God. But what a switch that came when desperation showed up and my health became an issue. It was sudden. It was real sudden when I switched. I dropped everything that I was thinking about OA, every reservation I had suddenly. I didn't even know I could drop it so quickly until my health became an issue and I became desperate. And at that time, I was willing to do whatever it took. So, yeah, this paragraph definitely reminds me that recovery often begins with simple honesty. Am I willing to admit that my old ideas just are not working? So that's what I wanted to share, and with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Fati. Okay, we're going to take another lineup here, page 52, the first paragraph. If you haven't shared in the last couple meetings, we would love to hear from you. So,
Regina V. from California.
Regina G. Thank you. Anybody after Regina?
Karen H. Karen H. Florida.
Karen H. Florida. Who else would like to share?
Elizabeth A. Michigan.
Elizabeth A. Michigan. Anybody else in this lineup?
Barbara A., California.
Okay. Okay. Last call? Well, not last call. We'll take more later. Okay, I've got Regina V., Karen H., Elizabeth A., and Barbara A. So please share with us, Regina. You'll be followed by Karen H.
Thank you. Hi, my name's Regina. And I'm a compulsive overeater and sugar addict. And I haven't been here in a while. I went on vacation, and my disease took over with the diet drinks and the zero sugar. And I have like 5 days of abstinence from that. But I had to pray. I had to really pray and really ask God for help. Because I was so addicted to it, I'd be drinking those drinks like at 9 at night and then going to bed at 3 in the morning and then waking up at 10 or 11 in the morning. And it was just destructive. I wasn't getting anything done. I wasn't doing my prayer and meditation or walking around the neighborhood. And so, you know, that right now I'm not drinking that, so I'm up at 7 in the morning. 7 in the morning in California. Thank you, higher power, right? Thank you, God. And so, you know, I'm planning on decluttering my bedroom and all that. But I want to say that I used to belong to another trusted program. And even though, you know, I reached a normal body weight, I was still miserable. And I didn't understand why. Until I figured out that I had not enlarged my spiritual life. And I just didn't. So, you know, but I also learned that even if you have the perfect body, you're not going to have happiness. You know, happiness is an inside job. It doesn't come from the outside. Like, oh, I look perfect. I look, you know, I'm slim, you know. Or, and then I put that thought to like wanting to be a millionaire, like more than a millionaire. Like I wanted $5 million and I was trying to find ways to make that. And then when I realized about the weight, how it's an inner, happiness is an inner job. I said, even if I had $1 billion, if I'm not happy on the inside, that money's going to, I'm still going to be miserable. But what I wanted to share is that, the reason why I went into food program in the first place was because of my diabetes. My health had gotten so bad, and I didn't want to lose my eyesight. or my toes or anything. Well, I switched from that program to OA, and I went buck wild, basically. I thought, OA, I can eat whatever I want. And I was eating white flour and sugar every week. And I started gaining the weight. I gained like 40 pounds. And I've been looking at my toes and my feet, and I'm like, I think the diabetes is back, and they might have to amputate my toes. And because I'm scared and because I'm desperate, the switch has been turned on to the point where, like, I will do anything to lose the weight and stay abstinent, and whatever I need to do, I will do and have a spiritual awakening.
Gentle reminder.
Just to wrap up, it might be a good thing, you know, that I'm having health issues, because it's getting my butt in gear. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Regina V. Karen H., you're up next, followed by Elizabeth A. Please share with us, Karen.
Thank you so much. So happy to be here this morning with all of you. Sorry if there's background noise. I'm out on this wonderful day walking. But I went to my first OA meeting when I was 16 years old, and I went to a traditional meeting for a couple of decades, as well as another fellowship. And I will say that in all those years, my thinking was that if I just changed the physicality, that all would be good, all would be even nirvana. And that was my erroneous thinking, that I could not shed, and I did not even know that this was a spiritual program in all the years that I was practicing so-called, in quotes, a program. And when I came 16 years ago to a Big Book group with a Big Book recovered sponsor who took me through, and in a blink of a moment versus decades, I came to understand through the literature that I was really troubled in the mind first and foremost, and that was my biggest problem. And I had such fixed ideas that came from the cradle all the way up, and they never resolved. And I could clearly see why, because I was still always trying human power for various things to fix, manage, control, different things that cropped up for me. Or anyway, so that was my belief system. And today I'm so, so grateful to understand that it all originates in the mind. I have had so many leaps and bounds in 16 years of changing fixed ideas and fixed behaviors and fixed ways, great crazy ways of thinking. And you know, like in Two Wives, it talks about how you could dispel with the big issues harder than the small ones. And boy, oh boy, I used to have this blueprint for what's right and wrong in life and what everybody should do. And I'm with my wonderful husband for 33 years, married. And in my mind, I was getting an apartment, you know, for when I got too pissed and I just had to vacate for a while. I used to have these mind fantasies. Oh my gosh, how this has awesome changed, you know, because things he did bothered me. And I'm out of here in my mind. And now, oh my God, my husband 5 years ago bought a clunker of a pickup 1950 Chevy. And I was so like, what are you going to do with that? He left it in the driveway for 5 years before. This in my mind, I'd be divorced, you know. And thank God for things like 10 Step, where I would just express my discomfort seeing this clunker in my driveway. And instead, I grew to have a sense of humor about it after doing numerous 10 steps throughout the years when it would crop up my irritation. And right now he is creating a tackle room in my dining room. I mean, he must have 30 rods and reels and all kind of paraphernalia. And I'm laughing inside myself because these are the little things that used to disturb me so much. I can't live with this. And this is just one person, but this goes across the board because I have been able with this wonderful program to change thinking with God and with my daily practice. These fixed ideas that I can't live with. Thank you. I can't live with this or that. And yet today God gives me the wisdom to know the difference between things that I could just accept with humor, with grace, with, you know, patience, and things that I can and need to you know, have wisdom to speak on. And I do that with my sponsor, with God, with my 12-step. Grateful for this wonderful change of being. That'll pass.
Thank you very much. Okay. Elizabeth A., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Barbara A. Please share with us, Elizabeth.
Hi, this is Elizabeth A. from Michigan. Oh, my goodness. Thank you for moderating. I just going to be straight up honest. I don't know why I don't love sharing, but here we go. I've shared before. I came into Overeaters Anonymous in 1986. And when I came in, I was desperate. And there's something about the desperation of a drowning man in the AA literature. And that was me. I was bulimic. I was low bottom. I did some very, very extreme behavior over exercising, fasting for 4 days, purging, just I did some really extreme things to try and manage my weight. And there were miracles along the way. I had a relationship with God when I crawled in here. And the bulimia was lifted by the grace of God, 1987. Thank you, Lord. I had to gain quite a bit of weight in a really short time during that phase, and it has taken years of chiseling. And what this paragraph reminded me of was in part of our AA literature, 12 and 12, it says, Bill says, someone remarked that pain was the touchstone of all spiritual progress. And he went on to say, for we know the pains of drinking had to come before sobriety and emotional turmoil before serenity. And for whatever reason, I have to be bludgeoned before I give up old ideas. Kind of frustrating. Elsewhere in the AA 12 and 12, it says something like, I'm paraphrasing, pride says I need not look. Fear says I dare not look. And so I resist, and I see, I get weary, and it's like, that's my mind. My mind feels there should be a better, a softer, easier way, and there really isn't. And so I just keep trudging along. But I'll be honest, I'm resistant, and I'm, oh my goodness, yeah, me. It's me and my addict. I do get to other meetings. I'm in another program. I went to a face-to-face. We used to say, bring the body until the mind follows. And I just need to continually, every day, turn it over to God and surrender. And I'm glad that God is, I have a faithful God, even when I'm ornery and scrappy. And so for me to let go of old ideas is like prying something out of my hands. And I do have to be in pain emotionally, physically, spiritually. But being on the line and doing service and showing up helps me. So I'm grateful. Thank you.
Thank you for doing service today. Okay, Elizabeth, thank you. Barbara A., you're up next, and then we're going to take another lineup on, we're studying page 52. The first paragraph begins with, but in more fields, and ends with, does not work for something new, which does. So, Barbara A., please share with us.
Good morning, moderator. Thank you. I'm so grateful to be here on a meeting to listen to these shares. Haven't shared regularly for a while, but listening as often as I can. Life changes, and things happen. But the one constant thing is having a reliance on a higher power. I've heard a lot of people speak about that today and about old ideas being, I think a couple of days listening to people's ideas being shattered. I am at a place in my life where I'm older, never been here before, never faced these kind of situations before. I've realized there's been a lot of fear, and this program and the higher powers help so much to just frame it in a way that I can get up every day and say, oh, hey, you know, I'm having a hard time and I have a meeting to go to. I have a food plan. I have people I can talk to. I have my sponsor. I have fellows. I'm just grateful. I felt the urge to just check in and claim my seat and let people know that I'm here and I'm grateful. I was struggling because I didn't know exactly what we were reading, and you just told me, so I was busy trying to star one, so I don't know if I really got it. But I guess I just want to be thankful for the people who continue to keep this program going, and that I'm doing my part to the best of my ability by, giving money to OA, coming to the vision meeting, reaching out to people, taking phone calls. Just grateful to be here. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Barbara A. Appreciate your share. Okay, we have time for a couple more shares. Who'd like to comment on page 52, the first paragraph?
Dolores from Arizona.
Dolores from Arizona. Okay.
Adrian, Florida.
Adrian, Florida. Let's go with these two and then see where we are, okay? So, Dolores A., let us know where you're calling from, and you'll be followed by Adrian.
Good morning. It's Dolores. I'm in Scottsdale, Arizona. I rarely share because I'm getting ready for work, but I did want to share this morning. I am grateful that you guys are there. I was thinking about getting rid of old ideas, and, you know, I had to let go of a lot of old ideas about my abstinence in recent months because I thought everyone else had to do everything, but I didn't because I was different. And so that's good. But I think for me, once I get rid of, you know, that food, the food being neutral and abstinent, then I have to deal with who I am. And one of the things that I struggle with is negative thinking. You know, that's an old idea, just to look at everything negatively. I just want to share something really quickly. Yesterday, my son was playing the guitar in the morning, and I was doing the dishes and looking out the window, and I could see that there was all this debris from a dust storm in the pool. And all I was doing was getting mad about that he hadn't done it, he hadn't cleaned it. And then he was playing the guitar, and then I'm looking at the dust storm. And suddenly I had this idea, this intuitive thought, maybe I could just look at his beautiful guitar playing and listen to that. And I did, and it was just such a gift from God because it made me realize I have a choice of what I look at, and I have a choice of what I focus on, and I can do that throughout my day. And that was a miracle for me yesterday, because my mind is like a thermostat or a thermometer that just go right down to the negative all the time. And for me, I want to just ask God to continue to give me new ideas and new ways of looking at things, just like he did with the food. And that's all I have to share. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Adrian, please share with us. And I might have pronounced your name wrong. Adrian?
Was it Adrian?
Yes, Adrian, thank you. Can't read my own writing. Okay. Thank you very much, Adrian.
Yes, that's quite all right. Adrian N. from Florida. My sponsor always says, you can't hear what you're not ready to hear. And this meeting, you know, has been very helpful to me. I came in the program many decades ago. I'm in my sixth or seventh decade. I came in 1973, and I'm still here. I never left, and I'm a high-bottom compulsive overeater, so I never gained an enormous amount of weight, even in relapse, which I gained more than what I came in. I still never gained an enormous amount, as some have. And I came in because it was a spiritual program. I couldn't wait to that Tuesday night, because there was only one meeting in a week in Brooklyn at that time. And And I was like raring to go. I came in raring to go. And there's so many things that I used to do that I realized listening today, and I listen every day, but, you know, listening today, was like, I used to do an 11-step, a written 11-step every night and send it to my sponsor. I haven't done that in years because this sponsor doesn't ask for it. And I used to do 10 steps, written 10 steps. I used to do reading and writing every day and phone calls every day. And there's so many tools that I have let go by the wayside. I go to my meeting from 7 to 9 in the morning, and today I missed it, so I'm on at 10 o'clock. And then I go about my business like, okay, I got my fix, I'm done. And I'm not done. You know, 11th step is all day, every day. It's on awakening. It's throughout the day. It's before we retire at night. And I've really let that slide. And I see that I couldn't hear that yesterday. I couldn't hear that the day before. Today I was ready to hear that. And I thank you all for that. And I pass.
Thank you very much for your share, Adrian. Okay, well, we are all set with our shares for today. So we'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Michelle M.A.C. please read A Vision for You?
Hi, this is Michelle A.C. The book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right and great events will come to pass for you and for countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road. God bless you and keep you until then.